Okay, you heard Robin Swan. You're reacting to what Robin Swan had to say about the position of the Ulster Unionists at the moment. Let me speak to Sinead Bradley from the SDLP. Sinead, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Sinead, do you feel as out in the cold as Robin Swan probably does feel but doesn't admit to?
Well, I admit I didn't get fully hearing Robin's interview, but I certainly don't think out in the cold is a place to be feeling, because it's a time to roll up our sleeves and get on with work, as usual in Northern Ireland. And, of course, there are a fluid set of circumstances in front of us which are creating great instability. And it's for those elected representatives to try and bring that stability to a much-needed situation at this moment in time.
Do you trust the DUP at all in relation to their liaising with the Prime Minister?
Well, you know, is it a matter of me trusting the DUP? The DUP are obviously have been received a mandate. And first above everything else, I'm a Democrat. And if they wish to use their mandate in a way that flexes their muscles in front of every other person at the talks, that is their power to do so. There are other parties who equally receive big mandates. They are choosing to do different things with that. So it's a matter of the DUP using their mandate. Any democratic society would respect and appreciate that. Where the matter of trust comes in is when we look then at the talks process, Frank. We are then sitting as a group of equals around a table trying to do the best for Northern Ireland, or at least that's what the talks should be about. Now, for the British government, surely, and I really don't believe anything different, surely when Theresa May made that decision to reach out and take political CPR, if you like, from the DUP, at that moment in time, it must have occurred to her that she had compromised the position of the British government at any talks process. They could no longer become an independent arbitrator. They could no longer claim that they had a neutral position. And that was a decision she took. Did it surprise me that she would take that decision? Absolutely not.
But it's not. She's not the first government to make a move like that. Labour were prepared to do that some years ago. In the Republic, they liaised with other parties.
Yes.
Sinn Féin could be kingmakers there. So we can't really condemn the Tories for making that move.
No, absolutely not. That was their choice to make it. But there are implications in making it, and the implications are that they surrender any possibility of presenting themselves as being independent. And to suggest otherwise, I think, is just disingenuous. And I also think that, you know, the DUP have to consider that they also, in making that deal, are connecting in a way that obviously that they see to their betterment, but in a way that separates them from others around the talks table. And I think it completely is disingenuous to even start the debate by suggesting that nothing has changed. There has been significant change, and to move forward and say that we're picking up where we left off is completely wrong. And remember, this is the same Theresa May that when we were in the thick of the talks, threw, as Colm Eastwood, the party leader, said, threw a hand grenade in the midst of them. How could any talks ever really be based on a neutral basis and looking forward with an election on the table? And it just shows the contempt, really, that Theresa May has shown towards the talks. And I will, Frank, just put it out to you that this morning, for example, I'm going to a meeting later this morning with the Trust about issues in our area, about Daisy Hill Hospital, about respite care for children with autism. All of these issues, I hit the same wall in every meeting. There's no minister, there's no government, there's no budget. And it's the people in Northern Ireland that are paying the price for this. The distance between the real life dealing with this situation and Theresa May's decision to take political cover or protection from the DUP is really starting to hit home. And we have to at least bring honesty to the beginning of the talks. There is a clock ticking, and anybody who's in denial that we have got an independent starting place really has to catch up quickly.
But Theresa May can't take all the criticism for the fact that we haven't got ministers at Stormont.
Well, Theresa May didn't help the situation at all. You know, the fact that the talks were progressing and we were getting there and we had set deadlines. And it just shows how much consideration did Theresa May give to Northern Ireland and the institutions when, in the midst of it all, she thought it was appropriate to call an election. Let's be honest here, Frank. Let's call this. Theresa May, quite honestly, doesn't care whether we have our institutions. Because if she had have cared, if it had have been a consideration for her, if it had have been any priority, she would not have walked in the midst of those negotiations and talks.
But was the onus not on the politicians in Northern Ireland to make it work before, well before Theresa May called an election?
It was absolutely, but we were where we were, and Theresa May was fully aware of that. And in the midst of that, where was her responsibility to make sure that we garnered something like stability? And I have to say, society in Northern Ireland is perhaps more polarised now today than in a very long time. And there's a responsibility on Theresa May, the British government and the Irish government to step in here and allow something that resembles a new stability, because we all face Brexit. We all face that economic uncertainty, and nobody benefits from one playing fast against the other. It is a time to sit down, and it's a time to acknowledge we do need to find an independent level starting place to get these talks well underway. Because if we're working to deadlines, and I think we should work to deadlines because I think it focuses minds, but we need everybody to come at this with an honest approach. And right now, today, can we say that? I don't think we can. And I do think that there's a great responsibility on Theresa May to step up here.
You've said during that there have been changes, and changes are continuing to happen. One of the main changes since the breakdown of the talks at Stormont has been people have been to the polls, and the SDLP are now weaker than they previously were.
Well, you use the word weaker. I would say that obviously, yes, I think it was a very unfortunate set of circumstances that unravelled that means that we, for the first time in a very long time, have absolutely no Irish nationalist voice in Westminster. And obviously that equation, that adds to the problem here, because we don't have that voice. As I said, DUP and Sinn Féin both received very large mandates, and with that comes a great deal of responsibility. Now, we can see already DUP's mandate in action, and I've heard little or nothing from Sinn Féin as to what they're actually planning to do with theirs. But at a time when it needs to be active, and at a time when people do need to step up, but to use the word weak, you know, you cannot dismiss the SDLP vote that exists out there, and we certainly won't abandon over 100,000 people who did come out and vote for us. And those are the people who still value the need for that stability and really value the fact that, you know, society doesn't function when we become polarised. And there is that need for us to work together. And SDLP always did take a lead in that, and we will continue to do that. And in fact, that's what we're doing now by calling this. We're calling to the British and Irish government and saying, get real here, let's get this process going, but agree our starting position. We need to find a neutral space, because to build anything on a foundation that has not got the goodwill of everybody behind it is an inevitable collapse. So, you know, it would be very foolhardy for anybody to continue in that. And I think, like I say, it's disingenuous for anybody to suggest that the British government are now in the same on the same page as they were during the last talks.
Will you give credit to the DUP if they get a good deal for Northern Ireland?
Do you know, Frank, I have to say, any party or any person that comes forward with anything that is going to help the much-needed instability of our economy, money for our health, money for our education, I will certainly be the first to welcome it. But what my concern is here, Frank, is how much of the deal will be above the table? How much will we know about? And Sinn Féin will know very well. Well, they were partner in government with DUP. They were very happy to rule behind an iron curtain. And I have little to no trust that a DUP and Tory government deal will be all happening in public view. So while we may see the nice headlines, and while we may, I will always have a concern of what is the deal? What is the real deal? And where is the money going to come to if it is a financial deal? For example, you know, we watched the SIF fund that was agreed through DUP Sinn Féin, and it had serious questions around it. Where would this be administered through? Without an assembly, we need to get an assembly up and functioning. Or would this deal be purely in the hands of the Tory government and the DUP for the administration? Or or is there going to be the institutions that can scrutinise and look at exactly what's on the table? So while I welcome anything that helps Northern Ireland and helps the people of Northern Ireland and our economy and our services, yes, but forgive me for being a little bit cautious about wanting to know the detail there.
Yeah, when I asked you about the DUP, you had a couple of pops at Sinn Féin, yet and all last Thursday, the electorate across Northern Ireland backed Sinn Féin to the halt.
I say, an absolute Democrat, and I give it to Sinn Féin. I said, if that's your mandate, I respect it, I congratulate you, and I urge you to use it. So it's not about getting a pop at DUP or getting a pop at Sinn Féin. It is about taking your mandate and using it. And Frank, I will never shy away when I see somebody commanding the vote and demanding that I respect their mandate. Absolutely, I will never shy away from that. But I will always call it when I see it not being used to full effect, or when I see that it could be used better. And I will call that. And, you know, if people say that pops at people, that's politics, Frank. That's when you see someone falling short of what they should be doing, you have to call it.
Just one final thing before you go, Sinead. It's the front page of the Belfast Telegraph. It's a story by Leona O'Neill. It says, evidence of foil vote theft mounts. A growing number of allegations about vote fraud are continuing to emerge from Londonderry in the wake of Sinn Féin's historic election win in the SDLP stronghold of Foyle. The PSNI is investigating the claims, and the SDLP is set to present a dossier of evidence to the electoral office today. Assembly member Mark H. Durkin described the situation as deeply troubling. Sinn Féin's margin of victory was just 169 votes. Is this a genuine concern from the SDLP, or is this sour grapes?
I think anybody that has evidence to suggest that there is electoral fraud should be concerned. I think society should be concerned if there's suggestion that our democracy is being tampered with in any way. And as a responsible party, we will, if there's evidence in front of us or presented to us, we are duty bound to follow through on that. And that appears to be the case. We have a situation now where there is evidence being presented to us, people who are concerned. And as I say, and I repeat again, I am a Democrat. And anybody who is not concerned that the democracy of our country is perhaps being played with or abused, well, I would question then their integrity and not the integrity of those people who are presenting it for investigation.
Okay. Sinead Bradley from the SDLP, thank you very much indeed. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Good morning.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.